Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, amen. Take your Bibles and open them to the 24th chapter of the, I was trying to jettison really ahead in Genesis there, the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one and on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. As life goes on, it's time to grow up. Time moves on. Young men, it's time to become a man. And because of that, it's time to love a wife. It's time to become a woman and love a man. Now, I love a good love story. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, one of the wonders of the writer of Proverbs is, and the way the old King James Bible says it, I love that, the way of a man with a maid. I love that. Now, every man won't become a husband, and every woman won't become a wife. Sometimes God gives gifts because of ministry and other things, and that happens. So I realize that not every single person this is going to directly apply to, but generally speaking, this is what happens. A man grows up, he takes a wife. A woman grows up, becomes a woman, she takes a husband, and they love one another. Now, what can we learn about finding a spouse from the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah? Man, I have been brewing on this message and thinking it through, and I'm excited about it. I want you to take your Bibles and look at Genesis 24. Now, I want you to go all the way to the end of the chapter, to verse 67. Boy, aren't you glad I've got a 67-verse chapter. Man, I'm pumped about it. I do want to tell you this. I'm not going to read every verse, okay? But I've got a reason for that. But, well, for one reason, it would take about 5 minutes to do it all. But anyway, no, it's all important, and we're going to get to it. Look at verse 67. This is Genesis 24:67. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So the title of today's message is, "And he loved her." What can we learn from the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah? Now, I'm going to go back and read some verses. This is Genesis 24:1. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh." That's an interesting thing. "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land, but must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, interesting, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all of his master's goods were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now, the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, some versions say gazed at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring. That's a good way to find a wife. Get a golden nose ring. Anyway, a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to skip verses 29 and go all the way to verse 50. All right, we're going to pick up with verse 50. And the reason is 29, you can go back and read it, 29 through 48 is a rehashing of all that just happened. He's telling it to Laban, Rebekah's brother. You know, the older brother that came out to check on his little sister. He had to retell the whole thing to Laban, okay? So now here we go in verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, after they heard the whole thing, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. That was smart. He did that. Verse 54. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. Verse 55. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Verse 58. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Verse 59. So they sent away Rebecca and their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Verse 62, now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Verse 64, then Rebecca lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Verse 67, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What can we learn from this bringing together of two people? I will say this. At this point, Abraham is old. It says it. And it just is a gut check that life goes on, doesn't it? I was telling Kelly this morning, I said, I'm reading all this about Abraham and everything, and I said, we got our five kids, and they're all grown up now, and four of the five are married, got some grandkids, and I still feel like I'm 19 years old. Now, I don't look it, and I can't do what I used to be able to do. Matter of fact, sometimes I go down these steps, and my knee is weak. I'm like, Robert, catch me if I fall. But I told Kelly, she said, I feel the same way. And I said, you know what? This is going to happen to us. It's already happened. Our boy, our oldest son, Paul, had to grow up and become his own man. And some of you guys in here and young people in here need to realize you better be preparing to love a wife one day and to be the man God has called you to be. Here was Isaac, that baby that was promised. But let me tell you something, life goes on, and one day Abraham was going to die. And the promise of God was going to go through Isaac. So here are some things, four major things that I want you to think about. Number one, consider who will be your choice. Now you think about the importance of the choice. You know, Abraham, it was important to Abraham, it was important to God. You think about the beginning. Now, Abraham was old. Don't you think it was important for Abraham that Isaac found a wife and that he was the man God wanted him to be? It was important, the importance of the choice. Consider who will be your choice. He was old and advanced in years. That's a phrase used of David. It's a phrase that was used of Joshua when they came to the end of their life. But then it says in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord had blessed him." The Hebrew term means divine favor. Abraham knows that he had received divine favor. And one of the other ways that we know it was important to him, he sent his oldest, most trusted servant in verse 2. He was the senior, most trusted elder to go and find Isaac a wife. So we think about the importance of the choice. We think about his convictions about the choice. All of this under the idea of considering who will be your choice. His convictions about the choice. In verse 2, he says to the servant, "Please put your hand under my thigh." Well, that was a signature ritual. To us, it would be like saying, look, I want you to sign right here that you're going to do what I tell you to do. Well, back in that day, it meant stick a hand under your thigh. Next time I need you to promise me something, I'll say, put your hand right here by my thigh. That's the way they did it. That was a signature ritual, okay? And so he shows the importance of the commitment, okay? You think about the importance of the choice, the convictions about the choice. Think about the location of the choice in verse 3. He says, I will make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. The Canaanites did not have the same faith that that Abraham had. Hey, listen, you know one thing that I learned when I was a teenager, and I got saved as a teenage boy, man, I didn't know anything about how to dating in the right way, I knew I was getting older. I was charged up when I came to UF to find a girlfriend and all this kind of thing, and I came to North Central and I met Kelly. But I learned when I first got saved, you should not date just a Christian. You should date a growing Christian. There are a lot of people out there who say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, they don't love Jesus, they don't attend church, they're not faithful in any way in that way. And I would just say to you, the location, he said, do not go down to Canaan to find him a wife. The location. And by the way, can I tell you this? You want to find a godly spouse, hang around godly people. You know, in Proverbs, the foolish man, the Bible says he went around by her casement of her house. The foolish woman, you know what I'm talking about? I think it's around Proverbs 7 or 8 or 9. And so in Proverbs it says the foolish man, he went by her way. Guy had no convictions whatsoever. Let me tell you, where you hang out makes a difference. The location. Man, I tell you what, you find a spouse in a prayer meeting. You find a spouse out sharing Christ on that campus or in your school. You find a spouse in a Bible club somewhere in the school. You find a spouse in a Bible class at the church. You find a spouse in a worship service. Well, I tell you what, I walked into the fellowship hall at North Central, the old terrazzo floor over there, Aubrey. You know, you remember that room. And, man, I walked in there, and there was Kelly, and I told my roommate, I said, I'm going to marry that girl. Man, she's the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life. And I really said that, I promise. Well, guess what? I was in church, and I was around Christian people that were studying the Bible. They were in life group studying the Bible. And if I'd have been, if you want a honky-tonk type of wife, go to a honky-tonk to find her. But if you want a godly wife, a godly spouse, you go to church and the things of God to find. So the location of the choice, all right? He says, don't go to the place of the Canaanites. We used to say it this way in days gone by. We'd say, we don't believe in missionary dating. People say, well, yeah, he's so good looking and he's so handsome, and I just know he's going to come to the Lord. Hey, listen. I don't know how many guys have attended church because of some girl. I heard some testimony of a guy. He said, my girlfriend invited me, and she walked to the front row, and I sat on the back row. Now, listen, I know there are times. I know I have a dear friend, Dr. John Sullivan, was the director of our whole Florida Baptist Convention. His wife, after they got married, led him to Christ. But can I tell you something? That's an exception. I'm not saying it can't happen, but if your mentality is, I'm going to change that old boy, well, good luck. I don't know. Kelly's been trying to change me for 42 years, and said I don't know if it's done too well. But anyway, but you better think about the location of where your choice is, all right? So, consider who will be your choice. That was a priority to Abraham, wasn't it? Number two, contemplate God's hand in the choice. In verse 6, he says, well, what about if I have to take him? He may not, you know, you're telling me to go up to Haran. You remember, if you look on in the maps in your Bible, in the story of Abraham's sojourn, he was from up north in Haran by the Euphrates River, and the Lord said, get thee out of this country and go to a land that I will show you, and he came south. So what's happening is Abraham is sending this servant to go north back to Haran to his people up there. And he says, I want you to go up there. But I want you to, contemplate God's hand. And so the servant says, what if I get up there and I don't have the boy with me. I don't have Isaac with me. And they want to see him. And look what he says in verse 6. He says in verse 6, but Abraham said to him, beware, by the way, that phrase, in a lot of the newer translations, says, watch yourself. And I'd say that, boy, if you're looking for a spouse, you better watch yourself. Abraham said, don't compromise this with me. I'm not taking that boy up there. You're going to find him. And he says in verse 6 that you do not take my son back there. Then in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you. Contemplate God's hand in it. Can I tell you this? God has a hand in this. Marriage is God's idea. And so trust him with it. Abraham saying to his servant, you go on up there and do what I told you to do. God's angel will go before you as you travel up there. God has a hand in it. He will send his angel before you. And then you remember God's faithfulness, but also remember to pray. In verse 10, look at what happens. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all of his master's goods were in his hands, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. By the way, he already, in verse 9, he put his hand under the thigh. He signed. He said, okay, I'll do it the way you said. He signed. And then verse 10, he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Verse 11, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And guess what he did next? He prayed. He prayed. Remember to pray in verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the sun have coming out to draw water. And so he was at the well and he prayed. Look at verse 27. We'll skip forward just a little bit. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. In other words, contemplate, number two, God's hand in the choice. The first one is consider who will be your choice. Number two, contemplate God's hand in the choice. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember to pray. He prayed in verses 10 through 14 and also in verse 27. By the way, in verse 27 where it says mercy and truth, in many of the newer versions, I love it, it says kindness and faithfulness. In my version, it says mercy and truth. Same words. Asking God for kindness. I love that phrase. You know what we're doing? We're asking God for mercy and we're asking God for truth, which is the word faithfulness. God is faithful. In looking at the way God put Isaac and Rebekah together, it's very clear that they prayed. And then, once you leave it in God's hands, the third thing under that one is you remember to watch God work, because you're contemplating God's hand in the choice. Remember to watch God work. And in verses 15 through 21, behold, she comes out. God is working behind the scenes. And She introduces herself in verse 14. In verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Okay? It calls her, in verse 14, a young woman. Now, in many of the versions, it just uses the word virgin for the second two. In verse 16, look at it. Verse 16, she was a young woman who was very beautiful. Behold, a virgin. That word means a woman of good reputation under the protection of her father. She was a woman of good reputation under the protection of her father. And then look at verse 43. You might have to turn a page. Verse 43, there's another, the word virgin is there. Behold, I stand at the well of water. Now, we didn't read this verse, but he was telling the story. But he used a different word. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin, now that word means a woman of childbearing age. So he uses three words in this text to describe her. A young woman, verse 14, a woman of good reputation in verse 16, and then a woman of childbearing age. And you know what she was? She was hospitable. And in this culture, and in it, really in all cultures, but particularly in the Bible times, what was he saying? He said, Lord, let her be the one that gives me a drink and also will water my camels. Well, she did. So she was very hospitable. And so then the man took, in verse 22, he took, first of all, it's interesting. Look at verse 21. And the man wondering at her, I love that. That servant was sitting there going, God, and isn't that what we all do in any decision we make? We just stop and gaze and say, Lord, is this you? Is this your will? He wondered at her, or he gazed at her. And in verse 22 it says, he took a golden nose ring. Now, the nose ring was a sign of wealth and beauty, okay, in this day and age. And he took, the nose was such an important physical feature that was a way to mark that this person was betrothed or taken. And so he brought that out. Kind of glad we don't use that in our culture anymore, right? But anyway, he took that golden nose ring, weighed half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So this is really where she introduced herself before the writer was telling us who she was. And she introduces herself in verses 24 and following. Now, so here are two major things we learn. Number one, consider who will be your choice. Number two, contemplate God's hand in the choice. Here's the third thing. Confirm your choice with others. Now, I didn't read verses 29 through 49 because in that passage, he recounts the whole entire story and he's telling the family. And you know what happens? His argument wins the day. He makes the case that God is in this. And he goes to the family, and so here's the third thing. You confirm your choice with others. I love that story about the boy who was dating this boy, and he wanted to marry this girl, and he goes over to the house, and he's over at the house, and the father, boy, he's like, man, I got to check this guy out. Is he going to take care of my daughter, whatever? And he sits down with the boy, and the mom and the daughter are in the kitchen, and they're letting dad and the boy have some time. I've had these conversations before. But anyway, he says to the boy, I know you want to marry my daughter and everything. He said, tell me what you're going to do. How are you going to meet her needs and everything? And the boy said, God, sir, will provide. He said, I know that. He said, I know that. I'm a believer too. I know God will provide. But he said, I want to know how's God going to do it through you? He said, God will provide. Man got up frustrated, put the chair, went in the kitchen. Wife said, "How's it going?" He said, "Well, I think he likes me. He thinks I'm God." But let me tell you what is a part of it. Confirming your choice with others. And in this situation, it happened to be Laban, the brother, and happened to be the father. And so he tells that story, and his argument wins the day. Look at verse 50. Genesis 24:50. "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good.'" And then they say, "Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife." The thing comes from the Lord. It comes from that family. Well, they got to thinking about it, and they said, "Well, can you give us 10 days? Man, that servant was like ready to put her on a camel right then and go back. They didn't even know this guy until that morning. And this guy's wanting to put her on a camel the next morning. They said, "Can you give us 10 days? And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "Man, I've got to get her back to my master." And so in verse 57, "So they said, 'We will call the young woman and ask her personally.' Then they called Rebekah," this is amazing, "and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" You know, in this story particularly, it doesn't always work this way in every story, but in this story, that authority was with that family, but eventually what happened, the girl made the choice. And the emphasis went from the family to the girl in verses 51 to 60. And they said in 58, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will." That phrase means, "I will go, I will walk." And it also has with it the idea, "I will vanish. I will pass away. I am willing." The Bible says, "For a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." When you get married, you become your own family, and you take that family relationship takes priority. I tell you what, I don't have time to read it all, but Anne Haseltine was the wife of Adoniram Judson, and Adoniram Judson was the first Baptist missionary to leave North America. He went to Burma. But he fell in love with Anne, and he wrote Anne's dad a letter talking about confirming your choice with others. He wrote Anne's dad a letter, and he said, "Mr. Haseltine, I want to know if you are ready to part with your wife this spring and to see her no more in this world." I'd have said, "Adoniram, you're a good guy, but hit the road, buddy." But that's what he wrote him. And you know what her father did? He did what every dad would do. He looked at his sweet daughter in the eyes, and he said, do you want to do that?" Man, you're talking about a precious moment. And Anne said, "I do." I'm sure a heartbroken dad took them to a ship, and he didn't ever see his daughter again. She died on the mission field. But it's the joy of blessing, family blessing. In verses 60 and following, they said, "Okay." She said, "I'll go." Look at verse 60. "And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them.'" And then they took off. So here's your three main points. Consider who will be your choice. Number two, contemplate God's hand in the choice. Do that through prayer and understanding God's blessing. Number three, confirm your choice with others. Boy, it's a blessing when the families are behind what happens. Number four, choose to love your choice. There's a part of the world today that wants to emphasize love as such a feeling, and it's all emotional. Don't get me wrong. There's emotion and passion. But can I tell you, this is deeper than that. Love is a decision. And it's, the Bible says, the Bible makes it clear that Isaac was growing up. Do you know that this is the one section, listen, in verses 62 to 67, this is the one section of this text that Abraham has not mentioned. What is happening here? The mantle is moving from Abraham to Isaac. All the commentators say this, that Abraham not being mentioned here is showing the independence of Isaac. The first time Isaac is cast in this light. And in verse 63, he went out to meditate, which means to pray or to lament, to talk. He is a man of contemplation and prayer. And men, let me ask you a question. I know you, young men, I know you want to get married one day. Let me ask you a question. Before you're so hot to go find a date, have you been in a field praying and contemplating the responsibility that it takes to be a grown man, to love a wife and live out the way God wants you to live it? Well, here was Isaac. This is showing him growing up. So he does that. He lifted his eyes and looked, and there were the camels coming. That's the providence of God at the moment he's in prayer. And then Rebekah lifts her eyes, and then she says, "Who is this man?" And then get this. He says, "It is my master." That phrase he had only used for Abraham. Now he transfers it to Isaac. Time goes on. Time moves on. And then she took a veil and covered herself. Evidently, this is the modest position of a betrothed woman, is to have a veil to cover her face, because the beauty of a face is revealed. And in that love relationship, evidently in this culture here, they would put, if she was betrothed, they put a veil on her face when she went to see the one she was betrothed to. By the way, we used to wear veils. I didn't wear a veil, okay. But the women, the brides, wore veils. In my ceremony, I used to make this statement, although women don't wear the veils anymore, but after we did the vows and the rings and the prayer, and then we would pronounce them man and wife, and then I would say this. I would say to the husband, "Sir, your wife's veil represents modesty and respect. It symbolizes the sanctity and exclusiveness of the marriage covenant. You now have the honor of lifting her veil, and you may kiss the bride." You know, in the old days, the brides would wear a veil, and then when you pronounced him and you kissed the bride, he would take the veil like that and he would kiss the bride. Well, there's symbolism in that. So evidently in this culture, when she knew this was my master, he said, "That's the guy." She put a veil on, okay? And we're going to find that Isaac will supplant Abraham and Rebekah will supplant Sarah. Life must go on. The servant told Isaac all the things in verse 66. That's another sign that Isaac is central to the story. He didn't go back and tell Abraham. He told Isaac the whole story. But then I love this last phrase, which is the title of today's message. "And he loved her." Now, the mention of love in marriage is not always found in the Hebrew story. We find it in Ruth chapter 1, verse 4. It just says, and they came together. It doesn't talk about that love in this way. But here it adds another touch to this portrait of a beautiful marriage. "And he loved her." So, what can we learn from this relationship? Consider who will be your choice. Contemplate God's hand in the choice. confirm your choice with others, and then choose to love your choice. Because, ladies and gentlemen, life must go on. The young boys must become men, and the young girls must become ladies and women who will carry on God's plan in the world. Let's bow our heads and hearts for prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.